I'd say if there's one takeaway, it'll be interesting to see what happens with American companies going abroad because the dollar is really strong right now. I am Reese Tisdale, and this is Future Water, which we talk about all the ways which companies, utilities, and people are addressing the challenges and opportunities in water. This is episode 58, and today I'm joined once again by my colleague, Steph Aldock, who has become a regular, but today we're going to talk a little bit about M&A and what the trends are, recent deals, but also what the outlook is for M&A, particularly amidst the ongoing economic uncertainty hanging over, I think, everybody's heads. So with that being said, rather than belabor the point, let's bring Steph in and talk about what's happening in water. All right. Joined here with Steph Aldock. Steph, how's it going?
Hey, Reese. Going pretty well. Hard to believe it's already October here. I am losing my voice a little bit, but we'll do the best we can here.
Yeah, it's super early morning your time, so you're probably not even ramped up for the day, but we'll give it a shot and sort of see where this goes. But at least from what you tell me, it's not the vid. It's one of the other ailments that we've all forgotten about. We've forgotten about colds and flus and things like that over the past 2 years. Now they're back in play.
Exactly. As long as it's not COVID.
All right. So let's do it. So we're going to talk a little bit about M&A. You had some questions. I know we've got our water mergers and acquisitions quarterly review coming out. It'll be on our website any day now. So with that being said, you had questions. So why don't we just jump into it?
Yeah, let's get to it. M&A is always a super hot topic with our clients. So I just want to get your perspective. How is M&A looking this year in water? Are we seeing more, less deal activity overall?
Yeah, so I'd say we always try to put a positive spin on things. So I'll start with the bad and maybe we'll work at least either in my answer or at least in this conversation to the good. But as one could imagine, it's down. But M&A activity is down across the board. It's not just the water sector. It's everywhere, and largely because of all the global uncertainty, whether it be energy prices in Europe, whether it be inflation globally, supply chain issues. As far as the numbers go, we've recorded 193 acquisitions this year in 2022. Not a big number, particularly given that the pace of last year was really incredible. And maybe that is the anomaly. And this is really more to historical levels. Last year, by the end of the year, we hit 511 deals. Now, a big chunk of those, 200 plus, were for water utilities in the US themselves. There's a lot of deal flow there. Even that number is coming down a little bit.
So why did we see deals go up last year? Do we have any idea? I mean, that is surprising considering we were in the pandemic. Were they just delayed investments?
Well, I think, you know, and I think we even still see them, which is, I think, provides some positive outlook. But, you know, there are certain tailwinds when it comes to the water sector and interest. So one, as we've seen from the Inflation Reduction Act, but also the IIJA, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, they're real tailwinds. And it also the same thing is happening in Europe as well, right? In sort of post-pandemic, how do we stimulate jobs, but also how do we address climate? And then you've got ESG policies and trends at the corporate level. So corporate sustainability is a real thing. So investors, whether it be strategic players, those who are already in the market, or outsiders looking in, see it as a real opportunity for growth. And last year, I think it was a combination of pent-up demand because things got sort of slowed somewhat by just pandemic restrictions and slowdowns and paperwork, perhaps. But also, I think there was just huge demand. And just suddenly, just in the past 6 months, what we've seen is globally and economically, the brakes have been put on the engine, so to speak.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I don't think a day goes by that we don't see a water or climate headline. What about overall deal value? I know not all of the deals have announced value, but are we seeing that falling as well?
So I think, you know, one would say, oh, deal values are down. But really, from our perspective, the market is really bifurcated in two different ways. When you start looking at technology, hardware, and services companies, those deal values seem to have fallen dramatically over the last couple months. I mean, pick your company in that space, particularly if they're private equity backed or venture backed. I think, you know, the buyers are sort of stepping back, or at least, you know, keeping their powder dry, as I would say, and waiting to make any acquisitions to see how things play out. The flip side of that, however, and we've talked a little bit about this, is on the utility side, and I think a good barometer, at least in the US, but also elsewhere, is that utilities and utility assets themselves, the price seems to be climbing. We've seen a couple really expensive deals. You've seen, you know, some Pennsylvania deals that have been pretty expensive for utilities that have sort of not only raised questions. Now, that's happening partly because those sort of tailwinds that I mentioned, but also there are fair market value policies in place that are stimulating or providing some kindling to the valuations of those assets. And also, there's just more competition, right? There are some new players stepping in and they're making plays for these assets and they need to secure a beachhead and they're willing to pay for it.
Yeah, for sure. I know last year we saw $3 billion deals and I don't think we've seen that dollar amount this year to date.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at the beginning of the year, we saw like they were big ones. And, you know, there were also companies like Innovyze were also, and Forterra. Those were, Aegion was another big deal that we saw at the start of the year. So I won't say that they caught anybody off guard, but they were big deals and they really headlined a really active year.
Yeah. And what about geographic nature? I mean, when I looked at Navigator, it looked like about 80% of the deals so far this year have been in North America, but are we seeing some global deals as well?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the nature of the beast is because we go through state by state, quarter by quarter, we look at all the utility acquisitions that kind of bolsters the North American numbers a bit, you know, it makes up a bigger chunk of the share. Because some of these deals are pretty small. But globally, I mean, I think this year we've tracked deals across 20 different countries. One that is sort of on my mind, or a couple that are on my mind, should I say, that are interesting are the deals made, like WSP had acquired Wood Group's Infrastructure and Environment. That was like a $1.8 billion deal, actually. Part of that is water. So WSP seems to be really stepping up, not only its acquisition strategy, it acquired Golder Associates the prior year, but also its water position is growing. And then lastly, they made a $640 million acquisition, now proposed at this point, or bid, because they were outflanked by Tetra Tech. So those are UK-based firms. And so it's interesting to see that happening in the UK. I'd say if there's one takeaway, it'll be interesting to see what happens with American companies going abroad, because the dollar is really strong right now.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of activity with the engineering firms. Were those deals you mentioned, Tetra Tech, WSP, were they like specific to water, or were they were more general and water was a piece of the deal?
They were really, I mean, the Wood Group piece and the RPS group, they're really water and energy. So just, you know, just for the listeners, RPS, the water sector itself represents about 15% of its $600 million or so in revenues. The expectation, it's going to grow. Their biggest footprint is in the UK, but it also has positions in Australia, Canada, Scandinavia. But the big chunk is the UK and Australia, I believe. So what is interesting to see happening there is they're also in the AMP7 cycle, which is a 5-year process that the regulator sort of manages or enforces capital and operating expenditures for the 17 private water utilities in the UK. So they're kind of in the thick of it right now. It'll be interesting to see what happens once we approach 2025. We move into AMP8, which stands for asset management planning.
Yeah, I expect to see more from the engineering firms. I mean, Eric just put out some analysis of their digital strategies, and it seems, you know, there's a lot of expansion there. Let's switch gears a little bit, talk a little bit about digital. I know AMCS Group had an acquisition of Utility Cloud. We also did a research note on AliAxis acquiring Aquarius Spectrum. Those are two deals that stand out in the digital space. Do you have any thoughts on those?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I mean, and to that point, as I mentioned earlier, I mean, now might be a good time to buy companies, you know, the software and cloud services companies. And that's really what AMCS has done. I think they're interesting. They're based out of Limerick, Ireland, and they bought Utilibill in Australia earlier this year, I believe, if not the very end of last year. My memory escapes me. But then also this year, they just bought a New Hampshire-based cloud services company, Utility Cloud. And what's interesting about AMCS is, you know, this is what I think is interesting, is that they really come more from the waste management side of infrastructure and services. You know, we see companies like FCC, Aqualia, or Suez and Veolia, quite honestly. I mean, they have active positions in not only waste management for municipalities, but also water. So what I think is interesting is AMCS comes from the waste side. Now they're moving into water. So it'll be interesting to see if they can bridge those silos. So when you start looking at cities and city services, you know, well, let's use billing, for example, right? Can you start tying waste management, water services? You could start energy and power depending on the city and what the city owns and operates. So there are some synergies there that these companies, cloud-based software companies, are looking to sort of bridge the silos.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, we've been talking about convergence for a long time, and that could be energy, but also in the waste management space. You mentioned Aqualia. Let's talk about some global deals. I know Manila Water made some moves, as well as Sour.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, we just put out some research on Manila Water. One, we've been tracking them actually since Bluefield was founded, from the early days, you know, looking at their water concessions in the Philippines. But over time, they had been building out positions primarily in Southeast Asia. They are now pretty active in Saudi Arabia. I think they have two deals in Saudi Arabia, and they're partnered with Sour, which is the French company, which is sort of the third utility company and out of France. And what's interesting is that Manila Water has a new owner, and this is not new news, so to speak. This is, you know, a little bit dated, but they have a new owner, and they appear to be, or at least made claims, that they're going to be far more active, and partly based on the new owner's footprint, right? Who's in the shipping business. So they're talking about more deals in places like Latin America, and maybe even the West African countries as well. So Manila Water will expand. They're a little bit unique, and so that's why we find them to be somewhat interesting. But you mentioned, you know, either Aqualia or FCC and SAR. So Aqualia had just acquired SAR's Colombia in Latin America assets, the water utility. So Qualia continues to build out, and at the same time, SAR continues to sort of tweak its strategy, partly moving more towards the industrial verticals, but also, as I mentioned, working with Manila Water in places like the Middle East and Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I think the Manila Water deal is interesting. They come up on a lot of our rankings. I personally had never heard of Trident Water, the company that purchased them. So it'll be interesting to watch where that goes. What about in the muni space? I know we put out a research note on A. O. Smith. I think it's their fifth or sixth acquisition. They seem to be kind of acquiring a lot in the background. Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I really like these guys in the sense that it's interesting, right? I mean, that's kind of what gets me excited. You know, A. O. Smith, at least in the U.S., everybody knows them as the hot water heater company. I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, my hot water heater broke. Well, I ordered a new one, had it delivered. Next thing you know, it was an A. O. Smith hot water heater. That's really what a big chunk of their business is. But over the past couple of years, we've noticed that they're buying water treatment positions, smaller companies, and they're playing a bigger role on the treatment side of the equation and not just hot water, particularly within the home. They have a really strong residential position. They're really strong in North America. They're based out of Wisconsin, but they also do have strong position in China as well. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out given the state of the world and what happens there.
For sure. So let's talk a little bit about bright spots. You mentioned IIJA at the beginning. I think I was listening to an interview with Tom Ferguson last night, and I think he said $100 billion would be coming to water with all of these recent policies coming into place. I mean, you know, do we think that's going to give a boost to the deal flow?
So I would say absolutely. I mean, it's a lot of money going to the water sector, and it's not just the $55 billion that I think I've talked about and Bluefield has mentioned. It goes well beyond just $55 billion of new spending. I mean, when you start looking at transportation, the power sector, there's water management and water technology and solution opportunities in those spaces. So if they're receiving money, if you're building a road, you're going to have to put in a catchment basin, you're going to have to put in culverts and things like that. So that, in my mind, is a water opportunity. So policy and regulatory wise, I think the tailwinds, and I keep using that word, are pretty strong. I think the difficulty, if there's a barrier, is going to be executing on spending all of those dollars. And we still have a workforce shortage problem. There's sort of some technology issues in the sense of deploying it and managing it. So if you're talking about digital, you know, are there enough data scientists to manage the data and the new solutions out there? So I would say it's really positive. I think the IRA money, the Inflation Reduction Act, applying dollars towards green energy, whether it be wind and solar, but also electric vehicles, the batteries, the mining that goes with it. So supply chain issues, but also longer term, you know, sometimes I say it and people smirk, but green hydrogen. I think if there's an opportunity for green hydrogen, but also renewable natural gas, all of these have a water component to them. I mean, I've said it before, is sort of water is the lubricant to our everyday lives. I mean, you can't do or build anything without it. And so any dollar that's spent, usually it touches water in one way or another.
Yeah, the hydrogen piece for sure. Bluefield's in Reuters today, actually, in an article talking about how much water hydrogen uses. So more to come in that space. So even though deal flow's down, I would say we are getting a lot of inquiries on the consulting side, both companies looking to make acquisitions or other companies looking to be acquired. I mean, do we usually see an uptick in deals in Q4, even going into Q1 of the next year? Is that pretty common?
Yeah. So what I would say is two things. One is that deal flow does pick up towards the close of the year as people are trying to close out their books, particularly if they're on the on a calendar cycle fiscal year. So that happens definitely in the utility space, but also other deals. They try to close them out. The other is, I would say, in a way, M&A can be somewhat counter-cyclical to the economy. I know there's a lot of uncertainty right now, and we've definitely seen a slowdown. But what ends up happening is there are companies out there, you know, money is more expensive now than it was 6 months ago, right? If you need capital and you've got to borrow it, it's getting pretty expensive. So if you're a, you know, wounded lamb, as I would say, and you're out there, there are plenty of companies that are well-resourced, well-capitalized, that are opportunistic and definitely willing to buy at the bottom, as they say. So those are two really key issues. And then lastly, as I mentioned, it will be interesting with exchange rates to see what's happening. I know there's, even though the, you know, British pound has dropped, I think 20% over the last 6 months versus the dollar, which is pretty significant. Part of that is because it started in 2016 after Brexit. So it's been slipping a bit. Secondly, energy prices, just economic disruption that's been happening, whether it be pandemic or Russia related. Thirdly, the new prime minister has, as they would say in England, I think, thrown a spanner in the works, and people have lost all confidence in the government, at least for the short term, I hope. So there's some risk to that, but I do think that there are potential buying opportunities if you can overcome those risks and you can buy low.
Yeah, for sure. And there's so many different market indicators that we're watching right now. So we'll stay tuned to see what happens. And I think you're headed to Europe tonight, right? To take advantage of that strong dollar.
Exactly. I mean, I'll be in Spain, Germany, and London. So I'll get my fill of the euro and the British pound. Maybe I'll go shopping in London for the first time in a long time.
Hit up Harrods.
Exactly. Yeah, I look forward to it. And it'll be a long 10 days as far as travel goes. But hey, that's the way it goes. It'll be good. Be cheaper than it was 6 months ago.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Reese. It's always good to tap into your knowledge, and we'll chat again soon.
All right. Thanks, Steph. We'll talk soon. All right. Big shout out to Steph for that. She's suffering voice wise, as you could tell, and we all go through it. So many thanks to her for participating early in the morning. She's on West Coast and it's 9 a.m. here on the East Coast. But before we sign off, if you're in Boston, let us know and we can set up a meeting at our new location, 10 minutes from the airport and train. And I'm not going to lie, already had 3 meetings come out of this. So I've had clients coming and going in and out of the office super easy. So participate. You don't even have to be a client. Just come by and be a friend. Please subscribe and give the Future of Water podcast a review. That's what helps us help you. It lets us know that you're listening and that you want to hear more. And it lets others know whether it's any good. So tell the truth. Send us a note at waterexperts@bluefieldresearch.com with any topic ideas you would like us to discuss. Like I said, we're doing this for you. And many thanks to the suggestions that we've been receiving over the past couple of weeks. Lastly, tell a friend about it. We all need friends and we all need to keep friends. The only way to do it is work at it. So send them a note and give them an idea about the future of water. This podcast and these water industry insights have been brought to you by the one and only Bluefield Research. To learn more about us, visit us at bluefieldresearch.com. Until we talk again, be well, be safe, and take care.